I don't care who it is. He's going to destroy them. Why is it that they were seeking and yet they were not able? Because they were none of his. I know the doctrine that is preached in this whore today. It tells you that Yahweh wants everyone. That's not so. If that was the case, he would have shown us with Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not show us that example. Nowhere in scripture where he has shown us that example. Nowhere. You show me, please. Thank you. Not even with Abraham and Lot. He commanded Abraham to get away from all your kinsmen, is what he told him, that you may be able to do what I command you to do. He charged him that. And because of Lot, then he neglected the things that he ought to have not neglected, that he wanted to even reason with Yahweh. He said, if I find 10. Do you understand that? We read the scriptures, but they are not true and a true reality to us. He said, if I find 10, I'll spare the place. He couldn't find 10. And my natural family is not going to find 10. Yours either. Any of us, he's not going to find 10. And if we're not careful, he's not going to find the one. You're going to have to strive to enter into that righteous place. It's a straight place, and it's a place whereby he makes sure that we strip ourselves. We must be bathed. He washes us. He said, when the ruler of the house is risen up, and he had gone to shut the door, and ye began to stand outside, and you're going to knock at the door, saying, ruler, mighty one, master, open unto us. And the scripture says, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, and where do you even come from? Is that a profound statement? Why? I will show you why. He says, then shall they begin to say, we have eaten, we have drunk in thy presence, we have shouted, we have been in the whorehouse, we have been to the worship service, we have gathered ourselves for our Christmas dinners and our pagan Easter ham hocks and potato salad. And thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. He said, I hate all workers of iniquity. And we think that the manifestation of Messiah changed the book. You're wrong. It gave us enlightenment of the book. It gave us a reality of the book. It's what he did. He hasn't changed one thing. He said, depart from me. Well, where shall they go if they depart from him? Into the destruction of darkness. He said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Well, how is my heart open to that spirit? Because you're stubborn. You don't obey what Yahweh says. But he tells us to give thanks unto his name. He means that. When you don't do that, you're walking in stubbornness. You're stiff-necked. Your heart has not been circumcised by the righteous spirit and the law of Yahweh. And so you walk in your own lawless ways because you are stubborn. You reject what he tells you. You reject his commands and his righteous laws. For you have established your own laws. Your own heart has deceived you. Your own heart is wicked. It is a desperately wicked thing. I say to us all, we must begin to hear the quietness of the Spirit of Yahweh. We must hear what he says. We must inquire of our Father and to know what he says. We must. And if we don't do that, then woe unto us. You're going to have to strive to enter in. We are not going to make it in unless there is a striving. And as the day approaches, that's why those that are alive when Messiah come, that is a blessed thing. I pray that Yahweh, that I'm alive when He comes, because they are blessed that are alive when He comes. Because they have endured the rigor of the trial and the tests of great affliction. And they have not denied His name. Not one bit at all. They have not denied it. So what an honorable battle to be a part of. For the righteousness and the righteous sake of His mighty name and His truth. What a righteous thing. And if I'm not alive, then you that He impart His truth into your heart, you need to love it. It's just not seeking truth today, but you must have a propensity and a love to know His truth and to hear it. And then once you know it, you must have a love to obey it. Many will seek to enter in. Many will seek. And what a downer that is. And they shall not. That is the confirmation. He said, they're not coming in. He said, I'm standing at the door, but that's my mother. She's not coming in. But that's my daddy. He's not coming in. That's my daughter. She's not coming in. That's my baby child. She is not coming in the house. Period. And many will seek. And shall not be able. They will not be able. Yahweh is able. But they will not be able to enter in. Why? Because they are workers of iniquity. Depart from me. I don't even know you. For you are a worker of iniquity. And when anyone, when the law of Yahweh or His truth is not the purest desire of one's heart, then there is a lawlessness in you. There's a seed of stubbornness. And then it evolves into a spirit like witchcraft. You become a worshiper of gods. You begin to worship everything. There are those that worship their sons and their daughters. They worship the accomplishments of their children. They worship their daddies and their mothers. They become icons unto them, and that ought not to be. We take more strength in what daddy says, a mama, or son. We ought to take strength in what Yahweh says. And nothing else. And these things have become gods, and that's why it has evolved. That stubbornness evolves into an iniquitous lawlessness that you began to establish gods and forms of worship, that you worship those things and you obey those things instead of what the commands of Yahweh says. And that's the way we are. We're creatures that way. That's why there must be a changing or a transforming and a renewing. We have to have that, saints. You must have that. If you don't have that, then you're none of His. If we are not a new creature in Messiah, we're none of His. All things ought to pass away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a refreshness to this walk every day. Every day there ought to be a newness to our life. What is the newness to our life every day? For His mercies are renewed every day. And so the mercies of Yahweh are renewed every single day. There ought to be a newness to our lives. There ought to shine with a great excellence. That is why many children today with parents are very iniquitous. Because they are stubborn. They have that little stub in them. And that's their little steady will. Their little own desires. And so parents cannot hardly say anything to them. They can instruct them, cannot correct them, because they're stubborn. And then they become very lawless. And Yahweh hates all workers of iniquity. When you begin to practice something that is outside of the paradigm of the law of Yahweh's truth, then you are an iniquitous person. You're very iniquitous. The foolish will not stand in His sight. What is the fool? Well, the fool says no to Yahweh. He says in his heart, I know you said it, but I won't do it. No, I want to do what you command me. Messiah was a son, and yet the law of obedience was wrought in him by the things that he suffered. And there are things that we suffer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And if we are righteous, we are going to be afflicted in many ways. But Yahweh, He delivers them out of them all. If we suffer with Messiah, then we're going to reign with Him. I'd rather suffer with Him and to reign with Him than to enjoy the pleasures and the association of sin for a season that would destroy the fiber and the love of my heart for the truth of Yahweh. I won't let anything prevent me or cause me to fall from that. Not even my own lawless ways. Not even my own unscrupulous ways. Because I will go to the book and hear the simple words out of the mouths of brothers that will correct me. Their words are their testimonies. Their lives alone ought to be a strength and a correction to our lives. The way brothers and sisters walk, it ought to correct us. We establish examples. We watch others for patterns and examples. And we emulate that pattern or that example. Those things alone ought to be able to correct us. When those things can't correct us, something is wrong in us. He said, "You are workers of iniquity. Depart from me. I know you not because you are workers of iniquity." He said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is profound. Now, the gnashing of teeth, I want to show us an example of that iniquity spirit, how it gnashes teeth. "When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of Yahweh, and you yourself are thrust out." Do you understand what thrusting someone out is? To grab them, you grab a man by the top of his shirt and by his pants back here, and you thrust that man. You make sure you pick him up and you throw him out. Now that's a thrust. He said, "That's how I'm going to do it." He said, "You shall be thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of Yahweh. Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." And then the same day there came a certain Pharisee, said unto him, "Get thee out. Depart hence, for Herod will kill you." He said, "I want to tell you to tell Herod something. I got power." He said, "You go tell." He said, "You go tell that old fox, that devil. Behold, I cast out devils." What a profound statement. He said, "Let him know that I got the devil's hand. Let him know I cast out devils. And I do curse today and tomorrow, and the third day shall I be perfect. I'm going to die and I'm going to get up. But it won't be by his hand. It will be by the charge of my father." He said, "Nevertheless," he said, "you go tell that fox, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So you go tell Herod what I said. You go tell the devil what I said." That's what we do. We tell the devil what our father says. This is what he said. This is the command of my father, and I obey my father. We have a father, and we have a mother, and our mother is New Jerusalem. That's why no prophet could die in Jerusalem. That's why it's going to become that holy entity of Almighty Yahweh. New Jerusalem. Our birth, our mother's right of birth. That's our power and our strength. "These workers of iniquity, Yahweh said, I hate them all." I don't care if it's you, your son, your daughter, your father, your mother. He hates them. You cannot justify anything that Yahweh despises. You either justify the wicked and say they're all right and they're doing nice. And you condemn the righteous and say it's not right what you say, Yahweh. Then even they both, what you do is an abomination unto Yahweh. It's a very filthy thing. It's a vile thing. It's nothing more filthy than an abomination unto Yahweh. Because it has a detestable stench. And it irritates him. Like that little stub in my back. It irritated me. It had just enough sharpness that it irritated me. The times that I get a little hair in a garment and that thing will irritate me to death. You literally must take the garment off. I've cut holes in things trying to get that little thing out. That's just like a labor in a shirt. That's the first thing I do. I cannot stand anything on my neck. I cut it out. I don't like it. It's scratchy. It's irritating. It's bothersome. First thing I do, I can't stand it. All the workers of iniquity. He said, I don't even know you. Depart from me. You workers of iniquity. Because he hates all workers of iniquity. He hates all lawless men. Now, I know the lie in Christendom. They say the love of Yahweh is unconditional. You better begin to study scriptures. We have been taught lies and concepts that are not so. He must love all workers of iniquity. He did not say, I hate iniquity, but I hate all workers. And that has an S, a S on it, doesn't it? I hate all workers of iniquity. He means what he says. He has not changed. Not one bit. And once one become entrenched in that iniquitous mind, they become that kind of a worker, they despise the truth with such ferocious hatred that they will literally kill you. They will gnash you. How do you know? Scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 7, 51. Do you not understand that that spirit, that iniquitous spirit, is one of the most devastating spirits that had to be eradicated? It had to. Because it brought more evil in the land than any other spirit. It did. Scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen said to this house of Israel, he says, first of all, he called them a stiff-necked people. They were stubborn. You were full of iniquity. He said, you are a stiff-necked, and you are uncircumcised not only in heart, but the ability to hear, in ear. He said, you always do resist the Kudush Ruah, the Holy Spirit. Now that is a devastating, that is a devastating thing to do. To always resist the Spirit. Only those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of Yahweh. He said, you always do resist the Spirit as your father did. That's plural, isn't it? And that's where we are today. We resist the laws of the righteous truths of Yahweh because your mama was a Baptist or your daddy was a Methodist. So you feel like mama was that and daddy was that. Your great aunt was a Pentecostal. So you resist the laws of Yahweh or his truth as your fathers. As Abraham was your father, he was the father of the seed of faith. There's a seed produced by Yahweh, and Israel, the Hebraic people, they came out of a union of Almighty Yahweh. He said, you always resist. You fight. You put up your own standard and your own lawless, iniquitous ways. You resist what the Spirit of Yahweh says. It's wrong, saints. Woe unto us all who we do that. He says, as your fathers did. He said, I want to ask you one question. Which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? Which one spoke to you in the name of Yahweh in that authority, and they did not persecute him? You let a man today speak with that auction, and the people will persecute him. Or fight against him. I'm not talking about charlatans, deceivers, and liars. I'm talking about men that will stand on the principal truths of Yahweh. That will cause the heart of a man to burn. Cause a soul to burn with anger because they despise it or they resist it. And they have slain them which showed you before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers. He said, you have betrayed the just one. You have killed him. And we crucify him afresh. Don't you know? We disobey the laws of Yahweh. We crucify the Son of Christ. We say he's not the just one. He has not justified the righteous laws of Yahweh. And he has. Everything that Yahweh commanded Messiah justified it. How? First of all, he obeyed him in everything, and he fulfilled everything that the Father commanded him to do. He said, you destroy the just one, you betrayed him, you murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of Malachim, and have not kept it. Yahweh did something to you that he sent you a mighty law. He sent it from the kingdom of his kingdom. And you did not even receive that. Has he done the same for us or done something greater? He has done something greater. They received it by the disposition of the Malachim. We received it by the disposition of the Son. And the words that he spoke unto them, they were spirit and they were life. What they spoke unto them was death and full of death. What he has spoke unto us is life. It's life. It is the spirit of life. So we have a greater disposition. He did not send a Melchem to die for our sins or to be the propitiation. What a great thing. That's why we don't take this lightheartedly. You don't take it that way. We must be sincere. We must strive. Only workers of iniquity will not strive. They will seek some of the avenue and some of the way. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart. And they gnashed upon him with their teeth. Workers of iniquity. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he being full of the Spirit, he looked up steadfast into the heavens and he saw the mighty power. Isn't that amazing? Because it tells you, first of all, who he saw. He saw the power of Yahweh. It says in the KJV, he saw the power of God, or he saw his glory. That's what it says. And it says, and, conjunction, and Messiah. Standing on the right hand of Yahweh. Don't you know that that was a saying in my days? I don't know if they said today that we will say that this is my right hand man. Now that means that you're my right hand. And because we are so tight and so close, you can't even separate us. Now that was an expression in our days that the kinsmanship and the loveship and the friendship was so united and so true and so pure. That nothing separated us from that oneness, the caring and the concern. And so Stephen, he saw the very heavens of Yahweh open up. His assurance that this witness, why did he see Messiah on the right hand? For this witness that you witness of in this testimony, Messiah, is true, son. It's true. It's true. He said, this witness of Messiah, because he is assured, because he's at my right hand, this is true. And you can witness of this great power. That you could tell of this great power because it is true. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahweh. I see that. He did not say, I see it. Then they cried out with a loud voice. And this is what we do. We crawl in our iniquitous ways. We speak out of turn. We shut our ears. We stop our ears from hearing the truth. That's what we do, saints. We've been guilty of that. You might as well say hallelujah. And they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran upon him with one accord, with one consensus satanic power. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witness laid down his clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Shaul. And they stoned Stephen. He wasn't calling upon daddy, mama, daughter, or son. I've watched brothers around here as they go through that last stage when death is upon them. They don't cry for children. They cry for the Father. He says, and he cries, said, Messiah, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. And he cried with a loud voice. He said, Yahweh, look what he says now. It says God in the KJV. But he said, Yahweh. Lay not this sin to their charge. Only Yahweh forgives sins. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Sleep is a beautiful thing, isn't it? I was thinking of the day as death. I said, you know, it's just like sleep. It really is, saints. You go to sleep and you don't even realize that you've been asleep for that long. Sometimes I will lay down in bed, and believe me, sometimes at 10, and I will not awaken until 6 o'clock in the morning, just straight through, nothing at all. I don't hear anything. Nothing distract me from my sleep. Nothing at all. And there are times that every 2 hours, I'm awake. I've been awakened. I get up. And there are times that there's a continuity there that nothing seems to prevent that wonderful sleep and that rest. That is what the kingdom is going to be like. You can't be a worker of iniquity and go into the kingdom. You can't disobey Yahweh. You know, we find things so hard. We find difficult things in our lives. We find things so difficult to overcome and master. Why? Because I believe that the way when we began to transgress against Yahweh, things become very hard for us. The way of a transgressor is hard. And any time I find myself walking and the ways of Yahweh becoming difficult, I must go before the altar and begin to search my heart. Because there is a seed of transgression there. And things come in very difficult. It becomes hard to pray. It becomes hard to study the scriptures. It becomes hard to be comforted. And those things, and that's what transgression does. Transgression is simply we don't trust and believe what he always says, and we don't hold the value of it as true. And everything he says is true. He is a shield to those that truly trust him. He will keep those minds, he will keep those in perfect peace. He will give us perfect shalom. I don't care what our situation is. He will give us perfect peace whose minds, our hearts are steadfast upon him. When we give our thoughts over to him, our mind for him to rule, for him to impart the righteous laws and instruction, he will give us peace in the midst of the storms, and we can say, peace, storms, be still. When our minds are not steadfast on him, when the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and other lusts enter in, it begins to choke out the hope and the promise of the word of Yahweh. And there is where we find our difficulties. Because our minds are not on him. We mind earthen things and sensual things. And we ought to mind the things of the spirit. Our affection ought to be set on things that are above and not on things that are earthly and sensual. We must. And so that's how we derive at those kinds of perplexities in life. Because our minds are not on him. He will keep our minds in perfect peace. He will keep us in that perfect peace when our minds are always pondering and meditating upon scripture, singing psalms. I don't care what it is. He will do that. So evoke you all to study the scriptures as never before. To seek out the riches of scripture. To take time to know what the Father is speaking to you. And that you will know. And so when you hear the word of Yahweh, it will cause your heart to rejoice. You don't have to be proud or pushed to do that. It ought to be a spontaneous type thing. I was thinking as we were preparing our worship, as we began to sing. You know, in a basketball arena, if the basketball players are playing at the home turf, as the people are not rowdy, the one thing they will say, well, the people did not give us any love or any energy. They weren't rowdy enough. And the rowdier they get, the more energized those players become. Because it is a form of worship. And the more we began to understand the purity of actually crying out unto the Father, we will begin to see Him do radical things in our lives. He is not going to do any kind of radical thing in our lives because we don't trust what He says. He means that everything that has breath, the little ones that all learn to praise and to exalt Him, not in your private mind, but with an ecstasy of vocal accolades and worship unto Him. The world does it all the time. It's simply we that call ourselves the people of Yahweh. We don't do it. That spirit, that iniquitous spirit, Deuteronomy 21, it must be eradicated out of the house. Because if it is not, it will destroy and bring every kind of evil there is. And if you don't cleanse yourself by the power of Almighty Yahweh, can I tell you before I go a little farther how you cleanse yourself of that spirit? Will you believe me? He says by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It's not going to come out any other way. Then He shows you mercies to show you your iniquity. And He tells you the truth of your iniquity. That He purges that. He cleanses you. That's the only way it's going to come out, saints. By the mercies of Yahweh. And in this experience here, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, this prodigal son. We saw the example of the prodigal son in scriptures in the New Covenant. Yet he did not maintain his riches that he had squandered and lost. He just had the comfort of knowing that he was still a son. It says this, Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 18. It says, if a man have, listen saints. It says, if a man now have, there's a difference between a man and a father. Watch this. It talks about a man here, doesn't it? He said, if a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father. See, a father will instruct in the righteous laws and the principles of Yahweh. So if a man has a son that will not obey the voice of his father, and the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, they have corrected him. They have told him the principles and the truths of Yahweh. First of all, he is a stubborn son. And he is rebellious. He's rebellious because there's witchcraft. He's practicing witchcraft. He's stubborn. He's practicing witchcraft. He's a son of idolatry. And he's a son of iniquitous ways. When he will not obey his father and his mother. And when they have chastened him. And when they will not hear him now. See two things. When they will not hear. When they have corrected the boy. When they will not hearken. Then shall his father, you see what a father will do, and his mother, they will lay hold on him. And they will bring him out unto the elders of the city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, look at the honesty of these parents. Are parents this way today? Look at this honesty. They said, first of all, this is our son, he is stubborn, and he is rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton. He is a worthless, useless piece of trash. How many mothers will truly say that concerning their sons and their daughters? How many will honestly do that? But yet they will tell you that your son or your daughter is a gluttonous and wicked. And yet they will not see a true father will do this. A true mother would say she's a Jezebel. She's a little whore. She's a filthy little thing. She's a corrupt thing. That's what a true mother will do. I'm reading scripture. She's a glutton and he's a drunk. And he's consumed with these activities and the cares of this life. And this world is drunk today, saints. They love reveling and banqueting and the things of this life. And all the men of the city, of his city, shall stone him with stone, that he die. He hate all workers of iniquity. So shall thou put evil from among you, And all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man hath committed sin because you acted with such just righteousness and dispensed the righteous law of Yahweh, if there is someone else that hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a stake, it says, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. He said, but I want to tell you something. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that hang on that stake is a curse of Yahweh, and the land shall not be defiled, which Yahweh your father give thee for an inheritance. For the son is full of iniquity. And that's because he is stubborn. He's allowed his little pricky ways, his little pricky thoughts, to have disdain for the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh said, you bring them before the righteous judgment. You bring them there and let them judge him. That's an evil thing. That spirit is one of the most evil spirits there is, to be stubborn. And that is why all children, all of us, has walked in that spirit. And that's why we're stubborn with the Father today. We've been stubborn with our parents. We've been stubborn with those that had authority over us. And so when it comes to the things of Yahweh, we're stubborn today. You're stubborn. It's an evil thing. It's an unclean thing. And we began to walk in that spirit because there is work of iniquity in our hearts. We are very lawless. We have no fear of the principles and the laws of Yahweh. So we're going to do things our way or hell's way. Well, you go in hell's way because you're not going to do it your way. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Kudush Ruah, the Spirit of Yahweh? And you are no more your own. You have been bought with a price. You're no more your own. We're not our own. We are to bring forth pleasure unto the Father and to please him in all things. We're not our own. No, this world is telling everyone to choose your own destiny. Yahweh has already chose your destiny. He has already chose your riches. He has given us riches that moss and rust cannot tamper with it. We can lay up a great riches in heaven. Our riches are laid up. While the thieves cannot break in and steal. So he's given us those instructions. And the only thing we must do is obey him. He said, you eradicate this out of the house of Israel. It's an evil thing. And that spirit must be eradicated. It has its birth by stubbornness. You find yourself stubborn. You know that there's iniquity in your heart. When you find yourself ready to fight, and you've already set up your defense, then you know there's iniquity. There's only one defense we ought to set up, and that is the defense of the truth of Messiah. We ought not to defend anything. Not a son, or daughter, husband, or wife. Don't defend me. I don't need you to defend me. I defend him. And he is my defense. He is my shield. I don't need to defend no integrity of mine or anything at all. I want you to defend his integrity. Because if he is in me, then the greater power is in me. That's what Messiah said. You tell Herod that fox, let him know that I cast out devils. There ain't no devil with no power can overcharge me, can overtake me. So you let the devil know that I cast out devils. I can buy that. I can handle that. And I have no problem with that. So we must totally eradicate that out of the house of Israel. We cannot allow that spirit to take power and strength amongst us. We cannot allow it, saints. Because if we do, then woe unto us. Woe unto us. The scripture says in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 16. Joel here, he gives instruction as the deliverance of this indwelling power that was in us. Now that it was an indwelling power. So he says in Romans chapter 6 verse 16. He says, do you not know that whoever you yield or you submit yourself servant to obey. Do you hear that? Whatever spirit you obey. There's only two spirits in the world. Spirit of the just one. And the spirit of the evil one. There is no other middle ground spirit. Period. He say, him Now, whoever you obey or what spirit, don't you know you're the servant of whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. He said, but Yahweh be thanked. Why don't we do that? He said, but Yahweh be thanked. It says in the KJV, but God be thanked. Thank Yahweh. What he says, but Yahweh be thanked. That ye were the servants of sin. You were now the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart. Now that's where you got to start. From the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men. He said, because of the infirmities of your flesh, because of your inability to understand what I say, so I speak as a man, because the weakness and the frailty of your flesh, because you don't understand things. You can say things to people, so you have to speak after the infirmity or the weakness of the flesh, because they don't understand the spiritual principles and the laws of Yahweh. He said, for as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, from idolatry to idolatry. See, you must yield your service. You must yield your heart to serve iniquity. You must yield yourself to become lawless. You have to yield yourself to that. When you yield to something, you slow down for it. Catch up for me. I'm here. He said, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Do righteous and allow the holy concepts and precepts of Yahweh to work in your heart. We were without the law of righteousness. So we yield ourselves unto unrighteousness and iniquity, that we became so lawless, that we were so self-righteous and arrogant. We were so adamant in our ways, we had no regard for man, Yahweh, or nothing. Have you ever found yourself that way? I don't care what no one says, I will tell my mind. Well, your mind is not very much. You need the mind of Messiah, and the mind of Messiah will speak the righteous laws of Yahweh. Let that mind, or the same mind, the spirit that was in Messiah, be in us as well. So our natural minds carry no weight at all. And has no power at all. We need a spiritual law. We need a spiritual mind. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you serve sin, you could do no righteousness. There was no law of righteousness in you. He said, what fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Ought not we ought to be ashamed of those things that we did in iniquity? For the end of those things is death. That's just it. But now being made free from sin and become the servants of Yahweh, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end thereof life everlasting. And that's what our fruit should yield. Should be holy fruit. Holy tongues. Sure it should. But Pastor Roberts, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through now, Yahshua Messiah. See, the gift of life is through Messiah, but who is it from? Who is it from? It's from the Father. That's who it's from. That's his gift. And every gift and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from the Father of life, in whom there is no variance or no change or no shadow of changing, no whatever. Well, Pastor Roberts, well, I don't think that I'm that iniquitous. Do you know the thing that caused you to walk in more iniquity than anything? The scripture tells you. It's not your brother, your sister. It's how you even talk to yourself. Do you find yourself talking to yourself? Oh, I talk to myself all the time. Great rebuke, correction. I speak to myself all the time. Tell myself all of his flaws and his lies and his corruptions. Sure. Did you tell that right, David? Was it said right? You sure? Go back over that thing and measure each word and make sure it was said right. I do that all the time. You got something, a member of your body, that is one of the most detestable, iniquitous things there is. And James told us what that is in James 3 and 6. He said, and the tongue is a fire. Your tongue. Your tongue. Not someone else's tongue. Your tongue. And the tongue is a fire. That's what it is. It's a fire. It says it is a world of iniquity. It is a world of iniquity. It is a world of iniquity. And the reason it's a world of iniquity is because there's an issue in your heart. Now, the issues come from the heart, saints. And your tongue speaks those things. It is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that sanctify the whole body. The what? You tell me the tongue defileth the whole body? That's what scripture says. That the tongue defileth the whole body. That's why you're always going to judge us by every idle word. He doesn't intend us to be idle and just talking, sister. I'm telling you, brother, he doesn't intend for all this foolish chit-chat. Because it induces such defilement and frivolity that you won't even talk about your way. Something is wrong. I would not want to be in a position where I can never talk about my Father. And he is not the preeminent thing on my mind. Or he's not the purpose of our conversation. Everything that I talk is your way. He is the purpose of it. And everything else is preliminary. But that should be the center fact in everything we do. Because the tongue, it defiles the whole body. It is your own tongue that defiles you. Why? Because it is a world of lawlessness. You ever found your tongue telling a lie when it shouldn't? Hallelujah. You ever found your tongue saying things that it shouldn't say? You ever found your tongue doing things that it shouldn't do? Because this is a world of iniquity. It is a very lawless thing. Small member of your body, isn't it? But it's the most ferocious, devastating thing there is. The culture to lie, speak ill, to say things that you ought not to say. Why? Because it defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. Makes it unfit, unclean. That's what that corrupt thing in our mouths do. It defiles the whole body. Why? Because it is full of iniquity. Unless you train it. And the only way it's going to be done, the only way that thing is going to be done, is going to be done by the Father. No other way. He's going to have to ordain it. Because I think it's so full of iniquity, it's so corrupt, it defiles everything. It will speak every kind of corrupt thing, it will say things that it ought not to say. He said it defiles the whole body and it set it on fire, the course of nature. And you always, I want to let you know one thing. It is set on the fire of hell. That's where it's going to be set. The fire of hell is going to consume it. Sure it is. Sure it is. And so when you find yourself walking iniquitous, then you will lie, you will do anything. You will lie. You rebel against the truth of Yahweh. You rebel against His laws and His commandments. You know, when a man truly loves Yahweh with all his heart, and he loves his neighbor as himself, then these things, you don't have to be reminded of this. Because it is in the principle of our love for Him. No one has to tell me these things. Because it is in the power of that love. And the life and the life of Messiah brings this alive in my soul. So I don't have to be reminded. The law is for all lawbreakers. For those that will not obey the law. That's why Yahweh speaks a law to them. For the man still, the unjust man, the unrighteous man. But the law is not for one that have the vivid power and the life of Messiah in them. That's why He said, I wouldn't leave you comfortless. We'll pray to the Father. Did He not say who we will pray to? Well, who is that Father that He prayed to? He's Yahweh. He's not Lord of God. He says, I will pray to my Father. And He will send you another comforter. He says this, daughters. He talks about an idle woman. He talks about those that love to talk and run their mouths. He says in Proverbs 7:11, a foolish woman. That's what He's talking about. She doesn't know anything. She's foolish. She knoweth nothing. She thinks she knows something. She knows nothing. It says that she is, first of all, Proverbs 7:11, she is loud and stubborn. She is loud. She's full of iniquity. And her feet abide not in her house. That's what a whorish woman, a rebellious woman. She's loud. You can hear her. She's always talking. She is stubborn. And she never abides in her house. She's full of iniquity. She never abides in her house. The place got awful quiet, but that's all right. It's your own heart that condemn you, brother and sister. If your own heart condemn you, then you're always greater than that. He's showing you how corrupt your heart is. And you better take heed to His principles, His laws. Because if you don't, then woe unto your soul. Then there shall be a great judgment that shall rest upon you.
I do want to close with a few more scriptures. I pray that the word of faith give you strength and understanding today above all things. We got to go back to the old time. We get back to the right principles of Yahweh. We must. Scripture says in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 in verse 12. Nijal was instructing Titus in the pastoral responsibilities of a true pastor. That's what this letter is concerned, this epistle. He says in verse 12, he says, teaching us that denying unrighteousness or unholy things and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, and holy in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the mighty appearance of the great Yahweh, our Savior, Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from some iniquity. Why? Because he hates all workers of iniquity. He hates all workers of iniquity, saints. He hates them all. He may redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto who? Himself. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now he said, now look now, Titus, he said, these things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise you. He said, you do just what I command you to do, because this is the command and the charge of Yahweh. He came to redeem us from all iniquity, saints. All iniquity. And the way we have power and strength over that iniquity or unlawless practice that we practice is that we must destroy the power of our flesh. We must destroy it. I was reading an article, a brother, I hope to find it. It's on our site. The brother Pat wrote, he said that Yahweh intend for us to have nothing. Because all these things remove us really away from him. He said, never intend. That's why having food and raiment, you'll be very content. Because anything else began to cause us to work lawless. We see someone we want that. Yahweh never intended for us to be that way. He intended for us to be a peculiar people. How are they making it? Because they walk by faith. They trust Yahweh. He feeds them. He takes care of them. That's the way it should be. He never intended for us to have things that separate us from him and cause our minds to be given over unto other things. I close from Judges chapter 2 verse 16. Judges. It says here in Judges 2:16, in all of their iniquities and sinful ways, they said, nevertheless, Yahweh raised up judges. Now he raised up judges for what? It tells you, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoil them. And that's why he raised up men of authority to deliver us out of the hands of those that spoil you. Powers of darkness, Satan, spirits that are unclean. He says, and yet they will not hearken unto the judges. People don't listen to men of authority today. They don't listen to men of Yahweh. But they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, and they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, but they did not so. And when Yahweh raised them up judges, then Yahweh was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Yahweh because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. See, the only thing that he heard was their groanings and their cries. And that's what we're going to have to get to that point whereby the utterance and sounds that are made unto the Father that we don't even know what we're saying. That's why he heard them, because they didn't know how to pray. It says, and it came to pass, when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves. And that is what has happened. People corrupt themselves. Because when the law or the judgment of Yahweh is lost from their hearts, they corrupt themselves more than their fathers. And they follow other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they cease not from their own doing, nor from their iniquities or their stubborn ways. When there is no light of truth to judge you, you will not cease from your stubborn ways. You will not cease from your iniquitous ways. For stubbornness is as iniquity, and it is the same as idolatry as well. They are identical. When one is stubborn because they are full of iniquity and they have they worship a form of a god and they go to serve their own gods and they don't serve the pure righteous laws of Almighty Yahweh. He hates all workers of iniquity. He abhors the sinful man that loves to sin and those that work deceitful maneuverings. He hates them. And Yahweh does hate. He does. Let no one tell you. He is angry with the wicked every day. He will bless the righteous. He will strengthen them. But the wicked, he is angry with them every single day. We need to get the pure love of Yahweh in our hearts. Because there's one thing that the pure love of Yahweh does. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't get happy with iniquity. That's not the strength of his heart. But it rejoiceth in truth. It doesn't love the fellowship of iniquity. It loves the fellowship of truth. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. That is the love of Almighty Yahweh. We truly love him and to love our neighbors. Then we will rejoice not in iniquity. Our iniquitous practices, we will not be happy about them. We will not rejoice, but we will rejoice in the truth. And what truth is revealed unto us by the Father, it will cause our hearts to delight. May Yahweh bless you, give you strength and peace. It causes your hearts to rejoice. Bow your heads, Father. I thank you for this day and I bless you in Messiah's name. As you spoke to my heart this morning, to anoint those, to go back to anointing with the oil, Father, in this hour, because we're going to need that anointing to break every shackle, to break the spoils of hell off our lives. Touch your people, give them ear to hear and to receive the truth. And we may search our hearts for any iniquitous ways, that you may curse that thing by the root and cast it out. In Messiah's name, I pray forevermore. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you.
The other morning, as I looked out, I saw Mother France and Sister Horn. I was telling some of the saints about it.
As they joined hands, the matter of fact, when they came down the path, he was holding one another's hand. And I told the brothers what a tremendous sweet spirit it was just to see that. And it wasn't something that they didn't want to do. It was something that their hearts desired to do. And that's what Yahweh wants from his people. That we truly love each other. Not with a pretense. But it must be real. And as I showed Deacon Benny yesterday, as we read the testimony of Sister Horn, a beautiful picture. Now, when I saw that, I had to catch myself because my heart was, the testimony was so rich, how everything that Yahweh has done, he's, how he kept her children, how he took her husband, but yet he is able to do all things. No reason I didn't cry then, because it's there. Heartwarming to me it was. And then I looked last night, his brother Alex showed me a picture of Evangelist Horn and me from way back. But there are many that will see that testimony and that family, and their hearts will be blessed. It will be the strength of many all over the world. And I saw today those from China, from the Philippines. There are folks that desire the truth. And they're seeking the truth. Man wrote me a letter, he says, in the letter, when a student, he says, I'm a seeker of truth, Pastor Roberts. There's one thing that when a student hears the teacher, the instructor, he knows the instructor. He was saying that the things that Yahweh bless you to speak to his people, they're good for instruction. A brother called me from St. Louis the other night. I understood what he said. He said, Pastor Roberts, I listened to them all. And he said, you are the best. Now, I understood what he was saying. He said, on these short ways, there's no one else out there is land to heart the things that Yahweh intend to be laid to our hearts, the sins and the corruption. That's going to destroy more people. That's what will destroy them. Because we will not adhere to what he says. We won't obey him. And it's going to be a day of great woe. And great weeping and great crying is coming. Now they said America economy, more jobs in October than any other time. And they all said great peace. The world says to Mr. Bush, we want you to straighten out the affairs in the world. And it ain't going to happen. He's not going to straighten out the affairs. This world is coming down to a chaotic mess. For they have forgotten Yahweh. They have abandoned the principles of righteousness. They've established their own gods. And they look to America as the savior. She's not the savior. She's not going to save the world. Then nobody saved the first world. Nobody saved Sodom and Gomorrah. Only Yahweh can save them. There were not 10 in the whole city to save them. And so our testimonies, the testimonies of life will speak much for us saints. And I'm so blessed when folks will see that there are folks in other parts of the world will see that big family. Son-in-law and daughter-in-law, all our sons. It will bless the hearts of so many over the world. It will, saints. It will. There will be many that will be blessed behind that testimony. It's good. You can go back there. You all can look on the internet. You can look on the stuff back there anytime you want to. It's right back there. One of the brothers, you can go on there and see it. May Yahweh bless you and give you strength and peace. May the hope of Messiah's return burn sharply in your heart, and that you hope for that above all things, nothing else. Not for houses, for riches, for land, nothing. There ain't nothing worth living for. I'm telling you. Nothing is going to grow you closer to him than what's in this. Not houses, not land, not $1 million a week. It removes you farther from him. I don't want y'all to give us $1 million a week. I don't want $1 million. It takes away the faith. I like what he does here. When we don't have enough, we still have enough. We think we're not getting by, we're still getting by. I like it like that. I do. I don't want $10 million. I don't want my faith to be destroyed. I don't want that. And that's what it will do. These men are destroying the faith of many. Tell them, God wants you to be rich. That's not so. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to obey him. He doesn't want you to be rich, because if he did, he would have came rich. Although he was rich, he became poor. That's not the plan of the Father. He wants you to be in a position where you will trust him for everything, for water, for life, for bread, for health. I mean, I want it all crumbled. No doctors, I want it all to crumble. That's my prayer. Let it fall, Father. Let this economy, let it all. They have gone astray. They have written you off everything. He's not real in this world. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what you say. He's not real to the masses of the people. They don't love him. They love religion. They love their own practices, but they don't love the truth. That's why the folks are not free today. We must love truth. That's the only thing. Truth. You must love the truth. When you love the truth, it makes you free. As nothing on this earth can bind you. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing. As when Messiah said, I am the truth. He knew it. You tell that fox, I cast out devils. Now I cast the devil out of him. But I won't do it. We have hope in Messiah. Without that, we have nothing. It's not in the riches. We never have nothing. We're going to be miserable in this life. Our hope is only in this life. That's why many are miserable, because then we are of all men most miserable. My hope is not in this life. My hope is beyond this. It is. And if I'm alive when he comes, I want to see the graves open up. And those that are dead and alive, they shall rise first. I believe it. I'm that stupid. I'm that ignorant. I don't care what no one says. I believe that. I believe it. I don't have nothing else. What else? Tell me, what else is there to believe? You're going to be rich one day. What good is that? You're going to owe millions. What good is that when you die? Tell me. There's no power. None. What are you going to take with you? There ain't nothing you're going to take. Nothing but your soul and the testimony. Whether he is real. Nothing else means anything. He has to be real to us. He must. Give me some little false thing. Give me just a little feel every now and then. He has to be the life of our hope every day. Everything we do because of Him. Everything. Nothing else. Not because of children and mom and dad. None of that. We've left our mamas and our daddy's houses, Brother Allen said this morning. We're cleaved unto Him. He is our husband, man. Must love Him. None of those things mean anything. Nothing. Life means nothing without Him. Nothing. I don't care how you try to search it out or find it. You will find nothing. You will find nothing but agony and woes and displeasures and pains. That's all you're going to find. All that we need is a Messiah. The whole hope and the promise of Yahweh is in that hope of Messiah. I don't care what it is you need, you find it right there. Any comfort is there. The old man forsake you, still you can find it in Him. All men turn their back on you. Seems like you're alone, you're lost by yourself, but yet He is still by your side. That's all that matters. It's going to seem like that in this hour. No one is going to stand with you. That's how it's going to seem. Seemingly forsaken like Messiah. We're going to see forsaken. Even brothers as they forsook Him. It's going to see though brothers and sisters forsaken one another. That's the great battle that we are up against today. We must prepare our hearts and our minds to understand that if we don't, then war unto us. Not one soul is going to be saved. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. May He give us strength and peace to understand that. Keep our minds on Him and Him alone. He will satisfy the longing heart. He will satisfy. May He bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Thank you, Father. In all things we bless you, Yahweh. Go with us, I pray. Give us all comfort this day of the Shabbat. I bless you in Messiah's name. Hallelujah.